Christmas songs that drive Santa crazy are I Saw Mama Kissing Santa Underneath the Christmas Tree, The Jingle Bell Rock, White Christmas. Forget it. Enough. I've heard that over a billion times. Yes, Santa has an iPod and playlists. 980 Christmas songs. And then 20 Doobie Brothers. And one Sheryl Crow. My name is S. Claus. I live in the North Pole.
Hello, and welcome to Lil' Cassie Best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Irfan Elijah. Joining me today on his editor's desk, you'll find a 5K iMac, a cup of tea, and a framed picture of the Queen. Leanne, your case. Only the basics.
You know, funny you should mention that. I was going to get a teacup with the picture of the Queen on it, but it was the Sex Pistols version, you know, from the 25th Jubilee with a pin
genius
through her nose.
Two birds, one stone.
Right.
Also joining us, he's walking the beat, sniffing the scoops, bringing you the hottest, most sensual Apple news each and every day. Buster Heine is here.
Oh, hey, what's
Hey-o.
Up?
What's going on, dudes?
Not much.
Man, we have all this great banter, and then we start the show, and it's like, everyone stop all this great banter. Let's.
I know.
Isn't it weird that we do that? Well, like, right before the show, we're having all these great conversations, and Leander's like always saying, stop, stop, stop.
I
we got to save it for the show.
We got to clam up and save it for the show.
But then we never actually, we get on a natural rhythm.
Well, why
and then
you
when the show
the,
actually starts, we don't actually include any of those conversations.
Well, why don't you start the show, gone. You know, when we start chatting?
And then just do away with the whole hello. Just start from us just talking.
Yeah.
We won't even introduce ourselves or anything. We just strip it down, right?
Well, why don't you just, you know, like with this one, just start it when, you know, you guys were chatting and then I came in 15 minutes late and I told you about my Pokeball.
That's gonna be really interesting. Yeah. We were talking about roaming around the Grand Canyon as Buster just... Did you do that recently, Buster?
Yeah, this last weekend.
He had some really interesting stories about roaming through there. And then Leander interrupts. Hey, guys! 20 minutes late. Right when Buster's getting to the sweet part of the story, where something
interesting
is about to happen.
Yeah, we were about to do peyote and a sweat lodge and get weird.
That's when the party starts. Well, here's what we got for you guys this week. It turns out that data for your LTE Apple Watch is way more expensive than we were originally told it would be. We'll talk a little bit about that. It's the end of an era. Jailbreaking is just about dead. Remember how excited Alex E. Heath used to get about jailbreaking? He's probably the only guy left that still does it. Everybody else is like, yeah, we're over it. Also, Apple's got a new YouTube channel, and it's something that I think you're really going to like. I have to say, I was a little bit skeptical, but I checked it out, and there's some useful stuff on there. We'll talk about that. Also, I had an interesting thing happen to me this week that had me questioning if all of our photos that we're storing in iCloud photo storage, well, photos, I can't even say it, iCloud photo library, is it safe? And you might think, well, of course it's safe. Well, I can tell you from experience now, that may not be the case. Something had me raising my eyebrows this week, and it's actually not resolved yet, so we'll talk a little bit about that. We will wrap up with a couple of really hot items. First, the useful iPhone 10 gestures you probably haven't heard about. Now, Leander was like, oh, dude, I've heard about all these, but I think these are somewhat obscure, Leander. I don't even think you have heard about all of these. Did you hear all of them?
Well, I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe you have, but I guarantee some listeners haven't. We're going to wrap up with our favorite movies of 2017. So we're starting all of our favorite stuff of the year. We're going to be doing a new one of these every single episode now until the end of the year. We're going to do our favorite shows. We're going to do our favorite gadgets. We're going to do our favorite Apple gadget. I think we were going to do our favorite, what we're into, like the thing that we talked about maybe this year that we love even more now. We're still trying to work out the details, but we're going to be doing a new one of these every single week now to the end of the year. So this is one of the best times of the year because the news kind of slows down and we're able to kind of work in some of this other stuff that's fun. You know,
let's dribble on.
We just ditch all this Apple stuff and talk about movies and TV shows. Now, we'll still do the Apple news as it comes out, but we can work in some more stuff as well. Before we talk about this Apple Watch data story, which I found to be very surprising, let me go ahead and say thank you to LinkedIn Learning for supporting this episode. LinkedIn Learning now featuring all the content from lynda.com, the leader in online learning from the past 20 years. LinkedIn Learning is for problem solvers, for creators, for people who want to succeed. Maybe you want to take better photos, overcome procrastination, or create an app. And if you're an entrepreneur or freelancer, you need to be a jack of all trades, ready to do anything that comes your way. LinkedIn Learning is your Swiss Army knife of applicable skills. That's how I've been using it. They have courses on everything, Photoshop, social media for small businesses, bootstrapping your business, design thinking, and more. Popular topics also include leadership, management, marketing, data science, a hot one right now, project management. I've used LinkedIn Learning for all sorts of courses. I mean, Logic, Final Cut Pro, Adobe Photoshop, Ruby on Rails. I mean, they have everything you could imagine, any skill you want to acquire. It's always the place that I start. And you can access all the courses you want, all for one low monthly price, available worldwide. And we've got a special deal for all of our listeners. You can get a 30-day free trial of LinkedIn Learning today by visiting linkedin.com/cultcast, linkedin.com/cultcast. I want to thank LinkedIn Learning for supporting this episode. All right. I was perusing stories on Reddit when I was getting ready for the show, and I found a thread full of very pissed off people. These are all people that got their first bill from their telecoms, AT&T, what have you, and it included the data charge for their Apple LTE watches. And the price for the data actually ended up being a lot more than they expected, because what they didn't anticipate is all the insane taxes that get tacked on for your data. So check this out. The guy said, just a heads up, got my first AT&T bill with my Apple Watch LTE added on. Taxes on the $10 plan, which is what AT&T charges. I'm not sure what other carriers charge for the data. I would imagine it's similar. Taxes on the $10 data plan come to $7.69. $7.69 on a $10 plan.
Yeah.
Meaning the cellular plan for the watch is actually $17.69 a month if you're on AT&T, or $212 a year for the service. He goes on to say, that's insane and totally not worth it. Just wanted to make people aware of the fact that AT&T is conveniently neglecting to mention how expensive the plans will actually be. Well, of course, they're not going to mention taxes. Why would they? Because it depends on where you live, right? Right. What do you think about that, Leander? Did you end up activating LTE on your Apple Watch?
I did, yeah. I finally got it to work.
Okay.
And I'm just checking my T-Mobile plan right now, see how much I'm getting reamed.
I bet you T-Mobile is less.
I can't figure out how to log in. So they never used to do that. They don't pull that stuff in Europe, you know? I was really shocked when I got to America. Because
really? You think this is a purely
it's a cultural
American
thing,
problem?
Yeah. You know, it's
interesting.
You know, that's always included in the price. Whereas here, you know, oh yeah, it's $200 plus $50 tax.
Right.
So it was like a cultural thing I had to get used to.
That, such is life with carriers and ISPs here in the United States. Yeah, for me, I mean, I was already kind of a big no on the activation of LTE on the Apple Watch, just because $10 a month is way too much, I thought. Like, I think they need to make it like $3, maybe $4 max, just considering how little data your Apple Watch actually uses. I thought that would be a fair price, but $7.69 a month? Hell no! $17.69 a month for data for your Apple Watch? That seems criminal to me. Send in the FBI, send in the CIA, get in the doors, close them down. That's what I say. Anyway, just a heads up, if you're planning on getting an Apple Watch, to consider that when you're thinking about how much the data is actually going to cost you. Buster, tell us about the end of an era, would you?
The end of the jailbreaking era?
Oh, man, such a huge epoch. Many people are going to be disappointed. Several people will be disappointed.
You know
but
what?
It was a big deal for a while.
Yeah. The last time I wrote a jailbreaking is dead post, though, I got lots of hate from jailbreakers. So apparently they still exist.
Because they're a passionate crowd.
Yeah.
But it's like the Hackintosh community.
So Cydia, the whole store is shutting down. Is that what's right?
Yeah.
Or just a couple of their biggest repositories.
Repositories. Yeah. Right.
So
right.
It's like, but still, it's like a huge blow to Cydia. So it weakens Cydia, I guess.
Well, I thought the most telling part was the creator of Cydia, Jay Freeman, said, it's just about dead.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not really any point to jailbreaking anymore. Well, I never really thought there was a huge point in jailbreaking to begin with. I know
it was in the very early days, yeah.
Maybe at the very, very beginning. When I got into it, I jailbroke, and there didn't really seem to be any useful functionality that was in there besides changing the look of your iPhone.
No. The big thing was tethering, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. But AT&T squashed that really fast.
But jailbreaking, you could get around that. That was like one of the nice things about jailbreaking. You could, you know, tether without having to pay for a tethering monthly with AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
You could change things. Like there, like Control Center was a thing before Apple ever made it. There were things like that, Notification Center, all kinds of UI tweaks. I remember video, you couldn't record video on the first couple of iPhones unless you jailbroke. And that was, there's just a lot of things that Apple adopted from the jailbreaking community as it beefed up the UI of iOS. And now it's like the UI of iOS is really solid. You don't really need to do much of that.
And all the functionality I think you would want is built in now.
Yeah.
So there's really kind of no point unless you really want to tweak with like the UI, which every time I tweaked the UI, I felt like I made it look worse.
Yeah, me
and
too.
It ended up looking cheap. It looked like an Android device, you know, like a cheap Android device.
Right.
I was like, why would I want to do this again? I mean, Johnny Ive's team is more talented than I am when it comes to UI elements and color schemes and that type of thing. So, but I do understand why some people would still want to do it even today. I do get it because there's people that just want to tinker, and I'm sure there's still functionality that's out there that would allow you to do things with your iPhone that Apple doesn't allow you to do because the entire ecosystem is locked down. But I kind of feel like now if you want to do those things, you would just go to Android and just do them on Android. Like, why would you even be on an iPhone? It doesn't really make any sense to me. But yeah, so Cydia has some of its big repositories shutting down, and I'm sure it will be a sad day for 10 to 15 people as they realize that jailbreaking is coming to an end. We got to ask Alexi Heath how he feels about this, since he was the big jailbreak. Well,
remember, there used to be like Jailbreak Con? That was kind of a big deal for a few years.
Didn't Alex go to that?
Yeah, yeah. He went to cover it for us. It was here in South San Francisco.
Right.
They had all the big players, you know, George Hotz and Sarek and a bunch of other people from the jailbreaking scene.
Dude, that George Hotz guy is insane. And by insane, I mean like one of the most brilliant guys I think that is living today.
Well, he's making his own self-driving car now.
He's working on self-drive. So George Hotz was one of the first guys to hack the iPhone. He was one of the first guys to hack the PlayStation. And he did this all when he was young. What was
like
he?
14.
Like 16, 17?
Yeah.
And he's manic. Like when you hear him talk, he talks really fast. He thinks really fast, but he's also really articulate. He's kind of an anomaly. And I watched an interview with him on YouTube, I think like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And he's working on this self-driving technology where he wants to turn every cell phone into a mechanism that can allow your car to self-drive, because a lot of cars have the equipment that they need to drive, but they don't have like the sensors and everything that they need. So he's trying to work on cell phone technology. And I heard him talk, and I was like, dude, this guy is like next level intelligence. Like I couldn't even understand everything that he was saying, but like just when you hear him speak, you're like, wow, this dude is brilliant. This is a total tangent. I don't even know where we're going with this. Oh, anyway,
you got a mind crush on
George Hotz. He was fascinating. He was a fascinating guy. I mean, when you watch him speak, he's very dynamic, and I found him to be like really engaging. You want to watch him while he's speaking just to see what he's going to say. But anyway, okay, so long, jailbreaking, Leander. Let's talk about this new YouTube channel from Apple that I found to be surprisingly good.
Right, yeah. So Apple has launched a new YouTube channel giving iOS tips. So, yeah, it's awesome. Welcome to the club. Really glad to see some more competition.
Yeah, how do you really feel about it, Leander?
Yeah, it's great. We'll see how it plays out, you know. But they want to help you make the most of your iPhone and your iPad. So they got this brand new YouTube channel. It's got a collection of how-to videos, teach you how to take screenshots, send attachments in mail, print on the go, and more. It launched on Monday earlier this week. It's only got 10 how-tos right at the moment. And it's stuff like, you know, change your wallpaper, mute, leave a group conversation in iMessage, delete call logs and photos and more. They're all really short. They're under 2 minutes in length. And they provide step-by-step instructions for each how-to.
They are good, though. I watched a bunch of the videos, and they're polished, and they're entertaining, and they're kind of, like, quippy.
Right.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, they did a great job with... they had a Twitter feed for a while, I can't remember what it was called, but it was like a troubleshooting or tips, you know, Twitter tips. Uh-huh. And I thought it was like, it was sort of best of class. You know, they had these little animated GIFs, mm-hmm. Very, very short, very, very, you know, to the point and really, really useful, really worth viewing. But I can't remember seeing it for a while. And I wonder whether they've kept it up. I think the trouble is with Apple, you know, they often, you know, do this. And it's interesting for a while, but they don't have any sort of commitment to it. You know, they don't keep it up.
Interesting. Really? So you think that they might just drop a few videos off every so often and then just leave it alone?
Yeah, they've tended to in the past. And I don't know. This is a kind of a weird one because I'm not really sure that there's a, you know, there's a need for this because, you know, there's so many sites and so many resources out there mm-hmm. that cover this kind of stuff. You know, we do it and have been doing it for a long while. Mm-hmm. You know, we've often had like little tips and more in-depth how-tos, and you know, I think we do it pretty well, and mm-hmm. And there are plenty of other you know, resources out there on the web that also do it really, really well. So it's interesting to see Apple get into this, and it'll be interesting to see if they keep it up.
I do have to say, from some of their videos, I learned stuff I didn't know how to do. Like for instance, like power down your iPhone. Your iPhone 10. I didn't know exactly how to do that. And it's funny because you think it's just you just hold down the power button. No, that's not how you do it. In fact, in the iPhone 10 gestures segment we have coming up, I'll tell you how to do it. But there was some stuff in there that I was like, whoa, this is actually pretty interesting. And it's cool, I think, that they have an educational aspect now, because that is one big thing that, at least from Apple, like an official educational channel that has been missing, because they always come out with these new OSs. And there's no official, hey, here's how everything works, here are the new features, here's how you invoke them. And it's kind of cool to see them doing this in these like really short videos. Now, I still think that there's plenty of space for other people to elaborate upon these things, because Apple does them in such a short fashion. It's just little like tidbits of information. But you should check them out on Apple's new YouTube channel. I'll link to it in the show notes. And also, what I think more than anything else is going to be interesting about this is Apple's interactions with people are generally very architected, right? You go into the Apple store, you work with the geniuses. This is them opening themselves up to the plebeians, to the unwashed masses, right? The comments are open on these videos. And if you've never been in the YouTube comments, they're often full of trolls, and they're hilarious a lot of times. And Apple is going to be subjecting themselves to the worst trollery on the internet, because now people can comment on their videos in an open forum and everyone can see those comments. I don't think that they're going to be brave enough to turn the comments off. And it's just going to be interesting to see what happens. If you use Instagram, oftentimes you'll see ads from companies like the Wall Street Journal or some of these other mainstream media news sources, and you go and read the comments and they're just getting flamed, like in their own advertisements. The comment sections are just full of like the funniest, meanest trollery, and they can't do anything about it because the comments are part of the advertising system. And that's going to be how it is here on YouTube. Is it's just going to be Apple opening themselves up to all these insane people on the internet. So I'm looking forward to see the comment sections of these videos. But surprisingly, from the videos that I looked at, they were actually pretty positive so far. So we'll see what happens with that. So moving on, let's talk a little bit about iCloud Photo Library. Everyone uses it. Leander, you use it, right?
I do, yeah.
Buster, do you use it?
Yep.
Okay. You always just assume that your photos are safe. I always did. But this week I had something happen to me that made me start questioning that. So I started loading photos and videos on my Apple TV, and I was trying to look at stuff from 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, and the stuff just wouldn't load. And after a day or so, I tried it again, and it still wouldn't load, because I thought maybe it was just like a temporary outage type of a deal. Finally, I decided I need to call Apple customer service, which is amazing, by the way. I mean, they're so professional. You call them and they pick up, you could talk to a real human in the US, and they were doing some troubleshooting, and I'm like listening in the background. She's like, you know, like making like little effects while she's like looking up what's going on. And she says to me, I'm gonna need to connect you with a senior consultant because there's no outage here. There seems to be something wrong with your iCloud photo library. And I'm like, what? So she connects me with this dude, and he's doing some troubleshooting, and he says ultimately, I'm going to need to connect you with an engineer, but first we need to figure out how to back up your photo library because the one online may need to be deleted. And I was like, wait, what? You can't just fix this? And he said, well, we're going to try to, but we need to make sure your photo library is backed up somewhere so you don't lose any photos. And at this point, I'm starting to realize, wait a second, is there a possibility you're going to lose some of my data here? So I asked him that, and he said, well, we are certainly going to try not to. We don't think that's going to happen. And I was like, wow, it never would have occurred to me that your data may not be safe in the cloud. And this guy is having me go through this series of maneuvers, so to speak, to download my photo library and have it be on my computer. But it's been going very slow, and it's not finished yet. And you have to have enough space on one of your devices, as far as I can tell, in order to download your entire iCloud photo library. And if you don't, I don't really know what you would do. And at that point, I mean, I guess maybe there are some workarounds that they might be able to offer you to help you download your iCloud photo library, but I'm still not at the end of this process yet. I'm not even sure if I have lost any images yet. And he said, once this whole thing is done, what the engineers are probably going to have to do, and the way he was phrasing it, it was like, the engineers are definitely going to have to do this, or they're going to have to wipe out your entire iCloud photo library, and you're going to have to re-upload everything again once everything is backed up on your MacBook Pro. So I had to clear out my MacBook Pro, move a bunch of stuff off my machine so I had enough space to download my iCloud photo library, and it's still going. It's still not done. I've been working on this for like days now. And I'm thinking now I'm a little bit more positive that I'm not going to lose any data because now it seems to be working a little bit better than it was at the start when nothing was happening at all. But it is an interesting thought, isn't it, that you store all your stuff in the cloud and it may not actually even be safe there. And I guess from now on, what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep a backup of
right.
my iPhone.
I was going
to
say,
somewhere.
Don't you have a backup anyway?
Well, I do, but here's the thing is your backup is only a backup of the iCloud photo library as it exists on your machine. And if most of your photos are stored in the cloud, you're not going to be backing up those photos that are in the cloud. They're only in the cloud.
Right. Well, you've optimized you turned on that setting, right? So it's like, store the originals in the cloud and optimize it for your devices.
Right, yeah.
Right. So I have the opposite. Like I have it, stored on my Mac and it's sort of backed up to the cloud. And then it's all backed up, at my house and also offline using Backblaze.
I think that's the smartest way to do it. And I think that's what I'm going to start. Well, never mind. I can't do that because I don't have enough space. You have an iMac. I have a MacBook Pro with 512 gigabytes storage.
Well, yeah, but I have it actually on an external drive because I got the same headache as you. I mean, we've got like a decade. Our photo library goes back, more than actually 20 years. So
Wow, yours goes back 20 years.
Well, not 20 actually. We started taking digital photographs when my daughter Nadine, who's now 21, when she was a toddler. And then we digitized all the analog pictures that we had and had them on DVDs. And I'm just about to import all those, probably several terabytes. Anyway, cut a long story short, it's a gigantic library. It's like a terabyte, 125, a terabyte
Holy
and a quarter.
Well, yours is even bigger than mine.
It's humongous. And I couldn't even fit it on Apple's, iCloud backup service until they bumped it to 2 terabytes.
Uh-huh.
And the thing's been a ginormous headache for years. Cause every time we would run out of space, so I'd have to find a way, if we upgraded a machine, I'd have to like transfer this library over. And I eventually went out and bought a RAID and stuck it on that. And then the thing crapped out and one of the drives was starting to
die. Dude, you are hardcore. Wow.
It was a huge nightmare. Cause then I couldn't, then I had to find another drive to put it on while I fixed, the original one.
Right.
So I've got, I've bought a couple of drives, just for swapping this around. And of course, and also like our time capsule, that was like about a terabyte. And that pretty soon ran out of space, That ran out of space a long time ago. So, it's kind of like, it keeps growing faster than I can keep up with and has turned into a giant headache.
And there's no great way to back it up either. I mean, again, if you have an iMac like you do, it's possible for you to keep a copy on your local machine. I guess on my MacBook Pro, I could keep it on secondary storage and then plug it in when I need it. But that's a really huge hassle, that's just not a great way of living your life. Who wants to live that way? Like every time you want to see photos, you got to plug it in. So there's no easy way to keep your entire library backed up. And again, it never even occurred to me that Apple could lose my photos or anything could go wrong where my photos could be lost. And maybe I'm overreacting, but the way that guy answered my question, it made it very clear to me it is a possibility that you could lose your data, and it clearly had happened before. Because he wasn't giving me a resolute, oh, that would never happen. He was like, I don't know, man. Let's see if this works. I was like, what?
Yeah, it's ugly. It can get corrupted, you know, and then you're kind of SOL. Well, you know, so I started backing up to Flickr, too, and also to Picasa.
Leonard Kitty has the most secure photo library on planet Earth. There could be a nuclear battle, and Leander would still have his photos after the whole thing went down. It'd be the cockroaches and Leander's photos library is still left.
Well, there's each one has got a problem, though. Like, you know, like Picasso, I kept on getting all these errors, you know, such as, you know, I get like a long list of all these pictures that could be backed up.
Wait, is Picasso something that you're using now?
Yeah, so...
That's still an actual service?
Yeah, well, Google Photos. I'm not sure what they call it these days, but, you know, Google Photos. And mainly because we, you know, we have the G... all of our email is on G Suite, and you get, I can't remember what it is, but, you know, a certain amount of storage, a couple of terabytes, I think. And so I'm already paying for that and not using it. So I started backing it up there, using the storage that we're already paying for and not using. And Flickr, I think, was... free up to about a terabyte.
Right. I remember when they switched to a free terabyte of storage.
So it's not, you know, like I kind of optimized, I think, the library so that it's not full copies, but it's, you know, better than nothing. Mm-hmm. So each one is kind of like compromised. And then Flickr, I think, kept on crapping out too. It wouldn't, you know, like it would be uploading. You know, I go back, I check it like a, it would be like a week, you know, and I check back a week later and, oh yeah, something went wrong. It stopped. And I'd restart the whole process, and I don't actually even know where that is, you know, so I've got to go back and look and check.
Yeah, nothing has been extremely 100% reliable. I think your method is the best way to do it, though. Like, if I had the option, I would do exactly what you're doing. There'd be one machine where the originals are downloaded, and that way I can back it up however I want. And then there's also a backup living in the cloud somewhere. And I mean, yeah, well, an iCloud photo library is so convenient.
You want two backups living in the cloud, really, and even three. You know, because I've got the iCloud.
I don't know about that.
iCloud Photo Library is a backup.
Yeah,
and also, like, you know, it's functional too. So it puts all the photographs on all of our devices.
Right.
And acts as, you know, sort of the central depository for everyone's photos. And then, you know, like I get a local Time Machine backup, and then I've got Backblaze. And Backblaze, I think, is like probably actually one of the easiest. And I highly recommend Backblaze as an offsite backup system. Very, very easy to use.
Mac native too.
Pardon?
It's Mac native too.
Okay. Yeah. And I've been paying for that for years, you know. And I've never actually had to back up anything with it. But every time I go look at it, it tells me that it's got the latest snapshot. It's been backing up like almost a daily, you know, and it looks right. You know, I've never actually had to restore from it.
Looks pretty good. I hope it's all there.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I guess I should check and, you know, I'm not really sure how you do that. How do you do that? Do you have to go restore something?
You probably would just need to try to restore some files. Yeah.
Yeah, but it looks, you know, like it tells me that it's
it tells you everything's okay. So
right,
fingers crossed. Yeah, I think that it probably is all okay, but you never really know, right? I mean, everything's living in the cloud, and you can just never really be 100% sure. As this experience with Apple has made me start to realize. I do have to say, though, I want to reiterate, Apple's customer service is the best. The guy that I talked to was extremely professional, very nice, and he said, hey, I'm going to call you back, and we'll figure this out once your computer is finished downloading all the photos. And I said, oh, yeah, right, I'm never going to hear from this guy again. That never actually happens. But boom, right when he said he was going to call me, I got an email from Apple, and he called me back, and he's just on top of it. I mean, the guy is he's a pro. He's a pro. And it's one of those little things. It's one of those little interactions that you get to have with a company where they haven't sold you anything, right? But it makes you like their company even more. It's like that's where the marketing happens a lot of times, is where those interactions happen, and you get to see how good they are, even when they're not trying to sell you something. That level of support is just top notch. So I want to call that guy out. I don't remember his name otherwise. I should, because we've spent like an hour on the phone together already.
Yeah, yeah. Apple support is always superb, and it's one of the things I think, you know, people don't really appreciate until they're forced to take it up. Yeah, usually it's awesome, you know, especially like the phones. Like I said, the phone support is usually really rock solid. The Genius bar is usually rock solid. If you have to deal with any other company, and you get routed to some call center in a foreign country,
yeah,
and then you get like bounced around. You know, I just had to call T-Mobile the other day. I got bounced, you know, to three different service people. I called the consumer line. They said, "Oh, you've got a business account, so we've got to route you to a different person, in a different department." Yeah. It's a huge nightmare. and in fact, they didn't even resolve my problem, and I won't call them back now because it's going to be like 40 minutes of my life that I'll lose and I'll never get back.
That happened to me with Dell's customer service. Oh. They were telling me to call. I would call one department. They would tell me to call the other, and they would just keep bouncing me back and forth. In fact, the same thing happened to me with AT&T as well. Yeah. And they would just bounce me back and forth. And finally, especially with Dell, I got so frustrated. I'd spent so many hours on the phone with their customer service agent, wasting my life. And finally, I just gave up. And I don't normally do that. Normally, I get pissed.
Yeah.
And I start laying down the law. But I just was like, I can't deal with this anymore. You know, like this monitor I bought from them has a flickering issue. And finally, I was like, I'm just going to not use this monitor in the way I was trying to use it because it's just not worth my time.
Right. It isn't. Bastards. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me say thank you to Orbi for supporting this episode before we move on. Boy, do you need a new router? You may not even think that you do, but if you're using an Apple router, you do, and you don't even realize it. You can get an Orbi. It is a mesh routing system. You'll place one in one part of your home. You'll place one in another part of your home. And the Orbi, they have a dedicated channel where they talk to each other, so they're faster than other mesh Wi-Fi systems that are out there. And the Wi-Fi in your home is going to be drastically increased in coverage, drastically increased in speed. You're not going to have dead spots in your house anymore. Or classic example, you have your router in your living room, and then you go into your backyard and you can't FaceTime with your mom, which is what I was trying to do because you're too far away from your router and you've got like doors and walls and all sorts of crap in between degrading your signal. This is why I think you should check out the Netgear Orbi. First of all, it's not just one of the most reliable routers on the market now. It's one of the absolute fastest. Go check out the reviews online. It's consistently rated as one of the best, fastest Wi-Fi systems that you can put in your home. And if you want better Wi-Fi everywhere, you should check out the award-winning Orbi Wi-Fi system from Netgear. Head on over to netgear.com/Orbi. That's O-R-B-I. netgear.com/Orbi. O-R-B-I. Leander likes the Orbi so much, he actually went out and purchased one for his home.
Mm-hmm. The whole system, yeah.
Your Wi-Fi is almost as fast as your $10,000 bicycle. Isn't that right, Leander? It's equivalent.
Yeah, it's not quite, but yeah, it's pretty fast. It is super fast, and it's like it covers the whole house. No more dead spots, no more complaining. You know, it used to be the bane of my life was like, you know, the photo library, and then it was Wi-Fi. You know, like right. Wi-Fi was always a problem. There was always the kids were playing their games. You know, my wife couldn't get online. It's a more important. It's right up there with, you know, water, hot water. Electricity, it's the most important thing. The minute Definitely. It goes down, you hear from everybody. And, you know, we used to have one time capsule that was in the middle of the house, and it never worked, you know, really for anybody. And I tried extending it with Apple AirPod Express, little satellites, and
that, right.
they would just make it even worse. You know, there was always problems, always conflicts, never ever worked really very well. I tested a whole bunch of different systems, you know, Eero, Luna. And the one I liked the best was the Orbi one. It's really been really, really rock solid, really, really super, super fast. I mean, our speeds are like, we've got Comcast cable internet, and it's like 250 megabits service. So, the Wi-Fi is blazing, blazing fast.
The single router points are just, they're the old way of doing things. And there's much better technology out there now, especially, as I said, if you have an Apple router. I love my Apple router. You can still use your time capsule. You just turn off the routing functionality and you put it in bridge mode. Right. And then you can connect it to your Orbi router and it will still back up just like it did before. So
right.
Netgear.com /ORBI. Okay, let's see here. Oh, let's do these tips here before we jump into our favorite movies of the year. So I ran across some hot tips, and when I run across hot tips, I share them with all of you, especially those of you with an iPhone 10. But first, can I do a quick check-in, Leander? How are you liking your iPhone 10?
Oh, man, I love it. I love it more and more every day.
Yeah, me too. Now, I will say that my original issues with the phone are still present. I still think it's too narrow. I still don't like the control panel access. And I hate that. But I have fallen in love more and more with the phone, and especially with Face ID. It's incredible.
Yeah,
and
that's one of the best things ever.
Yeah, yeah. And every time I go to a website, it automatically like scans my face, and then it just inserts my password and username into the website. So I've really been loving the 10, but I am still looking forward to the 10 Plus, and I'm looking forward to having a larger phone, even better, even more pixels to love. So, okay, gestures. If you're using an iPhone 10, you're probably using the basic gestures. I want to tell you about some that will make your gesturing even easier. Let's start with the app switcher. So we've talked about this in the past, and oftentimes people think that you have to touch the little home bar at the bottom and then drag it up and then wait for a second for the app switcher to invoke itself and show up. And one of the best ways to do it is actually just to switch up, is actually just to motion up on the home bar and then over to the right. And it's one fluid gesture, and it will automatically bring up the app switcher. Or even better, you can just tap the home bar and then just swipe up and to the right.
I can't get it to work.
Well, it's working for me, Lander. Maybe it's because my thumbs aren't as dry and scaly as yours.
I can't get it to work. I knew that tip, but I just can't get it to work.
And also you can do up and to the right. And I find that one actually is not always 100% reliable, but up and over to the right works just about every single time. You can't get that one to work?
Oh, well, so it's up and then right?
So it's like a reversed L, like an upside down L.
Okay. All right. So you know what I was doing? I was trying to do it like on a curve.
So
it's curving up.
90 degree angle, up and then right.
I see, got it. Okay, now it's working. All right, nice tip.
Boom. Yeah, it's way easier, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
wait.
That's an awesome tip.
If you like this one, there's more. So reachability, right? Reachability is where your iPhone screen lowers down so you can reach the top row of stuff. And on the iPhone 10, it's not easy to invoke. You have to touch the bottom of the phone and then swipe downwards. And even though I know how to do it and I've done it a lot of times, I still can't get it to work reliably. So one of the better ways to do it is you grab on the home bar and you swipe up and then you immediately like flick it downwards. So it's one fluid motion, but it's kind of like a two-part motion, right? So boom, boom, up, down, and then boom, there's reachability invoked. And this is way easier to do than trying to invoke it from the bottom of the screen, which is just about impossible. Now, the cool thing is, once you have reachability invoked, you can still use the top right corner to invoke control panel. So now it's within reach. Or you can use the top left, or really anywhere from the notch over to the left, to invoke the notification screen. So if you have a hard time reaching upwards to the top of the phone to invoke those, as I do, it might be easier to invoke reachability and then invoke control panel or invoke notifications. You know, just giving you some options, right? It's your old pal Airfon figured some stuff out, wants to give you some options. You don't have to use these if you don't want to, but those are some good tips. Let's see here. What else do we got here? Oh, closing apps. Now, one of the things that happened in the iPhone 10 that I actually didn't like was they got rid of the ability to swipe up to get rid of the apps, and they put this little red minus sign at the top left corner of the app switcher so that you had to go up and press those to like close the app. Well, turns out that's actually not true. If you want to close an app, force close an app, invoke the app switcher, right? And then you touch one of the apps and you hold. And then instead of clicking on the minus sign at the top left of one of the apps, you can just swipe the ones up that you don't want. Did you know that, Leander?
I couldn't get that to work either.
Oh, what are you doing?
What?
How are you doing it? Are you...
I hold it, you know, and then I get the little red
And then
button.
You swipe up and it's not working?
Well, I just... you know, I haven't done. Let me try it now. I didn't.
You gotta make sure that the minus sign in the top left corner is there first before you try to swipe up.
Yeah. Okay. It works beautifully. Yeah. Boom. No problem at all.
All right. You guys are all gonna have so much more fun with your iPhone 10s now. Okay. This is the last one, and we'll move on to the best movies of the year. So, do you know how to shut off your iPhone or restart it? I thought I did, but I was proved wrong. I had no idea how to do it. So here's how you do it. You press the volume up button, the volume down button, and then you press and hold the power button, and within a second, it should show up. Boom! How you like that one, Leander?
That's a terrible tip. It doesn't work at all. I just took a screenshot. You just hold the up and...
No. You don't hold the volume buttons. You press the volume button up, and then you press and let go of the volume button down, and then you press and hold the power button. So it's a three-step process.
Oh.
You with me?
Well, no, hold on.
Up, down, and then power.
It just turns off the thing. It just turns off the screen.
You got to press and hold on the power. So tap up on the volume, tap down on the volume, and then press hold the power.
Oh, right.
Boom!
Oh, man. These are, you know, I said none of these tips were new. I'm wrong. I got to admit. Sorry.
I had a feeling.
These are all great tips.
I had a feeling these were going to be helpful. Yeah. So, you know, you lose the home button and all the gestures that you're used to. They went out the door. And so they had to figure out how to do some of this stuff. And there you are. This will make using your iPhone 10 much more pleasurable. And once you learn these tips, once you learn these gestures, it's really like being on a surfboard. You're just in the wave. You're feeling the flow. And you're just riding in the wind, man. You're just like, oh yeah, you're feeling it. Big kahuna. you're gonna be the big kahuna. It's your friends. When you
Where did you
these
find
tips.
These tips?
Man,
actually, don't say.
Cultivac.com.
Cultivac.com, right? Exactly, there you go.
I found them on cultivac.com. Yeah, so if these aren't on cultivac.com now, Leander, they really need to be sometime soon. And all right.
I'm sending a Charlie right now.
There you go. All right, let's move on to the best movies of 2017. Now, these aren't going to necessarily be the movies that came out in 2017, because the hardest part about doing this segment is always figuring out what movies actually came out this year. Can you remember the movies that came out this year? I couldn't. Leander spent 3 or 4 hours preparing for this segment, just trying to figure out what movies he saw this year. It's hard to remember the movies that you saw at the beginning of the year. So these will be things that we just saw and not necessarily things that came out. Although I think mine are all things that actually came out this year, with the exception of maybe one. So I know we could do 2 to 3 each, maybe do a round table. Leander, do you want to go first?
Well, like I said, you know, like when I looked at the show notes about, you know, this morning about 9 o'clock, I was like, well, what did I see this year? I couldn't even remember.
Right.
And so I started like researching. I went down a rabbit hole for like 2 hours looking up, trying to figure out all the movies I'd seen. I looked looking on Netflix. And I tried to look at my Xfinity, you know, like purchase history to see whichever ones I bought. And, you know, like I really couldn't. I was like, oh man, you know, like I don't know if I can really meaningfully, you know, contribute to this, because there was a bunch of great movies this year. I think smaller movies, you know, that I didn't go to see at the movie theater, and I was kind of waiting for them to come to TV. You know, like a bunch of smaller independent movies that I read about, you know, but I didn't actually go see. You know, the only movies I went to see, like the stuff the kids wanted to go see, so like Star Wars and Blade Runner. And, you know, I don't know.
Star Wars wasn't this year. December.
Okay, yeah, whenever it was, yeah, last year. So, you know, so the movies I saw at the movie theaters, like, I don't know, you know.
Well, it doesn't have to be things that you saw at the movie theater, Leonard. It could be literally anything that you saw this year.
Well, and then the other thing as well is I think, you know, the action's really moved to TV. You know, the best stuff I saw, I think, was what you would call TV.
Okay, well, don't promote those now, though, because we're going to do the best stuff that we saw on TV segments in the upcoming weeks, and you'll want to save those for that show.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, you know, one of the best movies I saw all year was Devil in the Blue Dress with Denzel Washington.
The Blue Dress? I don't even think I've heard about this one.
Really?
Is this a Bill Clinton documentary?
No. Good one. It's like a neo-noir, a private detective set in the 40s in LA, and Denzel Washington's like a reluctant, you know, he's a laid off I think it was an aeronautical worker working in the aeronautical industry who like who gets drawn into this like mystery, very much like in the PI sort of story. But it's a great, great movie. And really underrated. You know, didn't really make much of a splash. But it's a really great, you know, private detective movie. And it's unusual because it's set in the, you know, the black community in the 40s LA. So there's, you know, like racism is obviously, you know, like a, one of the story's, you know, major themes. And it's really a great, great movie. You know, like seen it a couple of times, watched it the other night. You know, it's one of the ones that stands the test of time.
Wow. Okay, The Blue Dress with Denzel Washington, one that I haven't heard of. I love Denzel Washington. He's one of my favorites. You know, the hard part about this segment is inevitably what always happens is I pitch movies, we stop recording, and then I'm like, you're such an idiot. Like five or six movies come back to me that are way better than the ones that I talked about on the show. I'm sure that's going to happen to me this time too. So it's so tough just to pick your favorites from the year because I could pick so many. I mean, I could probably rattle off a list of five or six or seven right now that I really liked and I would want people to see. But I'll start with this one because Leander knew it was coming. He even said before the show, I know exactly what you're going to pick, and I have a feeling that he guessed right.
Blade Runner.
It's Blade Runner 2049.
Jeez.
Oh, man.
You've already talked about this movie.
I know. This movie, I came away affected. I saw it twice. It's by far the most beautiful, visually beautiful movie I saw all year. And in fact, I love this Blade Runner franchise. The funny thing is that I didn't even see the original Blade Runner until this year. And I watched the remastered remake of it. And I came away from it affected. And I thought, man, I think I really like this. And I saw it again. And I was like, I love this movie. I love everything about it. I love the film noir aspect of it. I love the sci-fi aspect of it. I like the weirdness of it. It's kind of a weird movie, like a quirky movie. And it's like an experimental album from an artist that you really love. And not everyone's going to love it because it does things in a way that other movies don't do. And some people think that it's boring. But if you like the genre of it, if you like the feel of it, you're going to love it. It's a cult classic for a reason. And 2049, it just continued on in that vein. And I love it. I can't wait to see it again. I can't wait for them to release it on Blu-ray. I actually might see it one more time before it leaves theaters. But okay, Buster, what do you got?
I think Baby Driver. That was probably my favorite movie.
You're kidding.
Yeah, you didn't like it?
I didn't see it, but that movie looked so dumb.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's better than my expectation or the picture I have of it in my mind. I don't even really know what it's about, but the previews I saw for it made it look totally lame, to use your word.
I mean, it's this kid who's he's got like a hearing ear condition, so he always listens to music. And he's a savant behind the wheel. And Kevin Spacey has some dirt on him, so he has to, like, do all these heist getaways for Kevin Spacey's cruise.
I didn't even know Kevin Spacey was in it.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey's in it, and, you know, he plays Kevin Spacey. And then who else is in it? Jamie Foxx and John Hamm and a couple other people. But I thought it was pretty
freaking... Wow, it's got an all-star cast.
Yeah, it was good.
I think the thing that really turned me off on it more than anything else was the name, like Baby Driver. Like, what?
Yeah, right. I'm right with you there.
That was it's like they all have code names. And so, like, the driver's name is Baby.
Okay. Baby Driver. Yeah. All right. Blade Runner 2049 was mine. Sorry, I'm just making a note of that. Okay, I want to check that one out, if only because it has the director from...
Right. Edgar Wright, yeah.
Right, Edgar Wright from a lot of my favorites.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. The music's great in it. It's funny. It goes like play. It, you know, it doesn't have like a totally typical ending, so it's good.
Is Nick Frost in it?
Nick Frost? I don't know.
Yeah,
he's the
chubby brown-haired guy who's always in Simon Pegg's movies.
Yeah, I don't think he's in this one.
No, that's a bummer. He makes everything better.
Yeah,
he's one of my favorites, man. He's great. Okay, Leander, back to you. What's number two?
Oh man, number two. Well, oh God, you totally caught me by surprise.
How did I catch you by surprise? Doing three was your idea.
I know, yeah. Well, I came up kind of short, you know.
Okay, do you want to think why I do my second one?
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the other great movies I saw this year, and I almost don't want to pitch this one because it's so obvious, it's going to be cliche that I'm even pitching it, but It did surprise me because they completely rebooted Thor this year. I liked the first two Thor movies, but they were very serious in tone, and there was a relationship between him and Natalie Portman that didn't really ever sync with me. And this year, they threw all of that out the door, and they brought out a whole new Thor, Thor Ragnarok, which was funny, hilarious, from start to finish. It was like a romantic action movie, or I should say a comedic action movie. I was going to say a rom-com, which it's not. A comedic action movie, and the comedy adds a lot, and the comedy lands so well in all the scenes that they do. It's just like boom, boom, boom. And then they bring out Jeff Goldblum, who plays the best Jeff Goldblum I've ever seen in the movie, and just takes it up to a whole new level. And it's cool to see them do something different with Thor and freshen up the franchise in a completely new and energetic way. It feels like it has lots of room to go other directions now. And from start to finish, I was just enjoying the entire thing. And if you haven't seen it, it was definitely one of my favorite movie experiences of the year. It's still in theaters too. So if you haven't seen it, I would see it in theaters because it's a hoot and a holler. Yeah, you saw it too, Buster?
Yeah, I saw it the other weekend. It was pretty hilarious.
Okay, Thor Ragnarok was my second. I'm going to surprise you guys with my third.
All
right. Okay. Leander, are you ready? Should we go with Buster?
Skip to Buster. Still frantically researching.
Okay, Buster, give me something good.
This is another one that I think you guys would hate, but it's called Logan Lucky with... Channing Tatum and Adam Driver, who plays Kylo Ren in Star Wars, and then Daniel Craig, James Bond. And it's like a heist movie. It's from the same guy that made Ocean's 11 and Magic Mike, if that tempts you at all.
Oh, Magic Mike's in my top 10.
Uh-huh.
Steven Soderbergh?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, Magic Mike is the male stripper movie, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I don't think I've actually even seen it. All I know is that Olivia Munn shows her boobs in that movie. That's all I've heard.
Oh, it was hilarious. But Logan Lucky, it's pretty dang good. Like, the cast is great. Daniel Craig plays like this southern, I don't know, neo-Nazi bomb maker, but he's freaking hilarious. Everybody in it's great. Adam Driver
is it a is time? Great. Is it like a time or a set piece? Like what era does it take place in?
I think it's kind of modern, like almost seven. Yeah, it's like
he's a neo-Nazi. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Yeah, and so they're basically just trying to like steal a bunch of money from the Daytona Speedway and get away with it scot-free. And they're basically a bunch of hillbillies, kind of like Hillbillies Ocean's 11. Only it's pretty good.
That's what they should have called it.
Yeah.
If they really wanted it to do well in the theaters, they missed an opportunity. I think I wanted to see this movie, but I avoided it because it features Adam Driver,
who
plays Kylo Ren, and I was curious if I'd be able to see that movie and then still be able to see him as Kylo Ren and not as some other character.
He does great in it. He's hilarious.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Man, he's really turning out to be a good actor. I thought he was probably one of the best performances in the Star Wars movies.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
Daisy Ridley as well. I mean, their performances I thought were incredible. It was just like totally believable. I was totally engrossed in their performances. Maybe I will check that one out. Logan Lucky. Okay, Leander, are you ready?
No, I can't come up with anything.
You can't come up with... You said you spent 3 hours on this.
I know, but, you know, like all the movies, I didn't really like them that much.
Oh, so you don't like them enough to pitch them, of course. No. Well, that's a typical problem for Leander, right?
Yeah.
Because he saw a bunch of movies, but they were all terrible.
Well, there's a bunch of great movies out that I want to see. I really want to see Lady Bird. Did you hear about that?
Oh, yeah, Lady I heard it's Bird. Really good.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Like, who's in that?
Everyone's raving about...
It's an indie movie.
Who was in it?
I don't even...
I think she's a newcomer.
Oh, okay.
Cyrese Ronan.
Cool name. Haven't heard of her.
Yeah, but it was directed by Greta Gerwig.
How do you? You know? How do you possibly remember that? I have no idea.
Well, she's an actress, and this is her first solo directorial effort.
Still, that's impressive. Well, I can't remember who directed Steven Spielberg movies.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, Lady Bird. Any other one that you want to see? Give me
I saw
a third
Get
one.
Out. That was okay.
Get Out, okay.
Everyone was raving about that. It was like, meh.
Yeah. typical. You're like, these people don't know what they're talking about. There's not even any subtitles. Leander likes movie with subtitles, but they're not even subtitles in his own language. He likes them to be in another language that he doesn't understand.
In Icelandic. Exactly.
There's no Icelandic subtitles. Leander doesn't even want to bother with it. Okay, Buster, you want to give me a third, and I'll wrap us up?
Frick, I don't know.
You can even give me a third and a fourth if you want.
Shoot, I don't even know. I would just say those ones, really. I didn't watch a ton of movies this year.
Should have got MoviePass, dude.
Yeah, I guess I should have.
Man, I saw more movies this year than...
Because you got that MoviePass thing.
Well, I didn't for the first part of the year, but yeah, now I do have it, so I go to the movies like every weekend. But I saw more movies this year than probably since I was in middle school and just hanging out at the mall all day.
Yeah.
But and then MoviePass, of course. I know I'm not going to talk about it. You guys have all heard me talk about MoviePass a ton already, so I'm not going to promote it anymore. But yeah, now with MoviePass, I see movies all the time. So let me wrap up with a couple of movies that you can see if you have Netflix, at least in the United States. I watched two documentaries in the last 2 weeks that I liked a lot. One of them, oh man, what is it called? I got to look this up. Oh, well, that is an obvious title. Okay. One of them is a documentary about the Doors and their very strange, enormously charismatic lead singer, Jim Morrison. It's called The Doors, When You're Strange. And it just documents Jim Morrison's life and then his death at age 27. And it's full of original footage of the Doors and their performances and footage that Jim Morrison took. I guess he had a video camera or something in 1966. And it documents 1966 to 1971, their rise to fame. And it is absolutely gripping. I couldn't get away from it. And I actually am looking forward to watching it again. I'm not even a huge Doors fan, but I like the Doors well enough. But you know, every once in a while you run across somebody who's famous and then you learn more about them and you find out how charismatic they are. And it makes you understand why they were so famous. Like the same thing happened to me when I watched the American Master series about Johnny Carson, and it showed him and who he was, and I just was like in love with him for like a year and a half, even though he's been dead forever. And the same thing happened here with this documentary. It made me fall in love with Jim Morrison, even though he had a very troubled life. And the end ends with a quote from his dad. And he said, "My son had a unique brilliance that he exhibited without compromise," and that really was Jim Morrison. Like he was brilliant, but he was also totally out there. I mean, just he was always drunk or always high, I think. So he just—it's like he was like always on peyote or something. He was like in his own world, and you get to experience that world through this documentary, and it was really interesting. And the other one that I loved was Andy and Me. And it is a documentary about Jim Carrey's transition into the character for Andy Kaufman's movie, Man on the Moon. I haven't even seen the movie. Have you, Leander? Are you laughing in the background?
Well, because I knew it was coming. So,
And I'm not familiar with Andy Kaufman at all. In fact, I wasn't interested in this movie whatsoever because I don't even know who Andy Kaufman is. He was a comedian. I didn't experience any of his comedy. But wow, seeing Jim Carrey transition from himself into this Andy Kaufman character, and he stayed in character for like a year and a half. He stayed in character on sets, and it was incredibly awkward and uncomfortable for all the other actors on the set and the director especially. And he had everyone address him as Andy. He would not talk to people as Jim Morrison. You had to treat him as though he were Andy. And his portrayal of the character was so eerily good that even Andy Kaufman's family would come to set and talk to him and spend time with him because they felt like they were hanging out with their son.
Really?
And Andy Kaufman's long-lost daughter, so Andy Kaufman had a daughter when he was a teenager that he never really interacted with. In fact, I don't think she ever even met him or didn't meet him when she was old enough to remember. She wanted to go and hang out with Jim Carrey as Andy Kaufman, and he stayed in character for the entire thing, the entire ordeal, and they talked to each other as daughter and father.
That's not very bizarre.
Is that not is that not totally mind-blowing? Anyway, this documentary is on Netflix and like The Doors when you're strange. It's totally gripping and fascinating. And if you like documentaries, I recommend you check it out.
So it's got Jim Carrey in it. I just can't watch it.
Yeah.
Although it's not Jim Carrey being Jim Carrey. It's not. He's a totally different dude now. In fact, I haven't seen him in anything in a while. And you also get a look at, I think, what fame does to a person. And he talks about fame and what it's like to be in Hollywood, which seems to be apropos for this time. And you get to see how fame has changed him into like this young, gregarious, outgoing, funny kid into like this older, more serious, much more jaded actor. So it's interesting on two fronts. Anyway, that is Andy and Me. I think it's called Andy and Me, Man on the Moon. I'll include links to everything in the show notes, so you guys can go and check all this stuff out. Lander, last chance. Anything you want to mention before we wrap up here?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, like It Follows. Remember that horror movie? I think it was in 2016.
It Follows. Haven't heard of it.
Filmed in Detroit.
Okay.
Low budget, but very, very atmospheric and very, very strange.
Haven't even heard of it.
It's the premise is this thing, whatever it is, this some supernatural presence,
it follows you,
gets passed on as it like a curse after you have sexual relations with someone, and the only way to pass it on is to have sexual relations with someone else, and then it goes after them, and it really is unsettling. I thought it was really, really well done.
It Follows, and it came out in 2016.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna link to that in the show notes too. All right, that's it. Favorite movies of the year. We'll have more of our favorite stuff from 2017 for you next episode, so make sure you come back and tune in for that. All right, y'all. Hey, another quick thanks to Orbi for supporting this episode. If you're ready for blazing fast Wi-Fi in your home, if you have dead spots that you want to squash, check it out, netgear.com/Orbi. That's netgear.com/ORBI. Hey, also, if you want to tell us about your favorite movies from 2017 or tell us about the one that we clearly missed, or you want to talk about any of the stories that we mentioned today on the show, you can reach out to us on Twitter. I'm at Airfawn, Buster's BST3R. Leander is L. Caney. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Hey-o.
Hey. I was sitting here actually waiting for the fucking link, and I'm like...
That's right. Buster was just telling us about the deep oases that he discovers when he's traversing the Grand Canyon. Completely,
oh, really?
Completely nude, of course.
Yeah.
Oases of what?
Beer bottles. Is there a lot of litter around there, Buster? Or do people pick that crap up?
Yeah, most people pick that crap up.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be like if the Caney clan had just visited and there'd be like twirly-whirly wrappers everywhere. empty Sapporo bottles.
You've never been to the Grand Canyon?
No, I haven't. I hear it's amazing. Oh, what, have you been there?
Yeah, I've hiked down it a couple of times.
Wow. Buster practically lives there. He was just saying he goes there all the time.
Practically lives there?
Yeah.
Practically.
He's probably going to go there to die. You know, like when cats disappear to die? Yeah. That's where Buster's going to be.
And they'll find him one of those oases of beer cans and cigarette butts.
Mom, what's that? I think that's just a dead hobo, honey.
He's so got a nice skeleton beard. With his giant beard on.
Yeah, right. It's gonna be a skeleton with a big beard.